Growing up in Memphis had an impact, it did, in ways that I didn't realize till later on in life, but it was massively, you know, a big part of, you know, just growing up there. A lot of the blues was there, a lot of other styles were there, you know, and nowadays it's grown into a whole lot of other more styles that's come to be flourishing out of there. But, you know, I'm very proud to have come from Memphis, but there's definitely a lot of other styles that attribute to
How did you get hooked on the those English rock sounds? I'm thinking, what, Robin Trower maybe and Jeff Beck's, those kind of guys?
My brother was turning me on to all these dim cats as when I was growing up. So I had a nice melting pot of all kinds of styles of different people. So, you know, I've attributed that to my older brother, Eugene Gale. So that was a big power play on that end.
Okay. Well, Memphis has a mystique to a lot of us for what you just mentioned, soul and blues and Elvis and Sun Records, Stax Records, all that kind of thing. But was it, when you were growing up, was Memphis just for like a lot of us? It's just my hometown. There's nothing going on here. Did you?
Pretty much. You know, being from Memphis is definitely a passionate attribute for me, but influences that I pull from come from a lot of other places. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different influences that attribute to that. And just being from Memphis is a specialty within itself, but I pulled from a whole lot of other sources as well.
Sure. Did you feel special growing up in Memphis at the time, or did that come to you later when you realized, hey, what a cool town this is?
It came to me later.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your brand new album. It's called Middle of the Road. You just put it out. And you've already been saying that it's sort of an autobiographical album in some respects.
That's very accurate. You know, I just dove in and told about stories of experiences that I've been through in life and, you know, kind of try to not just give problems, but try to give solutions to come out of those problems and be an influence and an inspiration to someone else that may have went through some similar things in life. And just to show that there's a brighter side of the road. You know, all you got to do is just, you know, apply yourself and let a lot of things go. And, you know, then that's when real life begins.
Well, Good Time is the song that opens the album. And right away you say this is a great way to open the album.
Now that's how you start a record.
How so?
Because it's opened the door for, you know, okay, let's have a good time. I'm letting you know that it's going to be a great time on this record. You know, at that point you have no... for someone that's just putting the record in, they have no premise of what's about to happen. I mean, they have an idea that this may be a blues record, but then when you listen all the way through it, it gives you different nuances, but it all fits in the same package.
Come on, have a good time. Come on, have a mighty, mighty, mighty good time.
Come on, have a good time.
Lord have mercy, yeah.
Come on, have a good time.
Yeah.
To me, it's sort of a gospel release song. It sounds like maybe it could even close the album, but man, it's a lot of fun.
Good Time is a lot of fun. It definitely has a gospel overtone. For one, that's what I came up in, you know, and it's hard to get it out of my bones. So I try to, you know, I just like doing things that inspire and influence me, so I just go from that.
Hey! Come on, y'all, put your hands together like this.
Earlier, you mentioned that you were trying to provide some solutions as well as some of the problems that maybe you would have run into, some other people might have run into. Can you give an example of a song or two on this album where you're providing a solution?
Help yourself is a good solution. Letting you know what things that happen, but you have to help yourself. You know what I mean? You have to go and assert yourself to, you know, get some progress at the end of the day. If you don't do nothing, you don't get nothing. You know what I mean? So you have to do something about where you're in or what state you may be in or what predicament you may be in. That's the only way you can change it is you do something about it.
I spent all my money and wasted all my time. Lord have mercy. They left me alone and drank up all of my wine.
Another song, you've got Gary Clark Jr. joining you. The name of the song is Boogeyman. Have you known Gary for a while?
I've known Gary for about 5 or 6 years. We met a while ago, and we had a show together that our bands were playing separately, and we jammed at the end of my show, and we kindled each other again like about 5-6 months ago. He came and played a show in Raleigh, And I hit him up and I was like, what's going on? He said, come on down and bring your guitar. And it was massive, man. It was massive. So at that point, I began to talk to him about this new record that I was doing. And I told him I was doing a rendition of Boogeyman. And I told him I was going to flip it up a little bit. And then when I let him hear my version, he said, wow, man. He was down for it. So he got off tour. The next day he got off tour in California, he came right to me and done a great job, man. It was the rest was history.
Well, I want to take it as somebody who comes from our town here in Bloomington, Illinois. His name is Matthew Curry. He's now 21 years old. And like you, he was a teen prodigy. And when he graduated from high school just a couple of years ago, it didn't take very long. He was opening for some classic rock giants. I mean, Steve Miller, the Doobie Brothers, folks like that. And then he hit some, you know, he hit some rough times. He had trouble with management and, you know, things dried up for a while. Now he seems to be back at it a little bit. What I'm getting at is when you were bursting out on the national scene, when you were a really young guy and all this hype about you, what were you envisioning was going to happen to you and what actually did happen?
I wasn't really envisioning nothing, man. I was just enjoying playing, man. And, you know, what happened is, you know, my brothers were there, they were around, and, you know, all my focus was on with just playing. My brothers and them took care of everything else. After the second record, you know, there was kind of a bombshell with the label. Everybody that worked there that had a vision for us, they all changed around. I mean, new president, everything, and I got a little discouraged by that. So I, you know, got intrigued with the street life, and, you know, the rest is history on that, and kind of got pulled in, and that began to excite me, and fortunately, you know, my years through those dark periods, you know, it was enough for not to kill me, you know, but it could have. It easily could have. It's not like I wasn't in positions to where that I could have been killed.
What or who brought you back?
Man, people in their prayers for a long length of time, you know, but actually getting with, you know, and I say that, looking, driving down the highway at a beautiful day with my wife sitting by my side, and, you know, and I'm saying what I'm about to say, not just because she's here to hear it, because it's the truth, you know. She, in a short amount of time, actually from day one, began to, you know, input into my head and soul that, you know, Eric, you know, this, you have something about you that you know, she even says, you know, take the music away. I care about you as a human being. Yeah, you're a miraculous talent, but, like, you know, something's battling. You're battling something. I don't know exactly what it is, but I hope that someday God, you know, shows you that you mean a whole lot more to a lot of people out here than what you're going through. And to sum it up in short, you know, it's just people around my circle that I finally got that, you know, wasn't always yes people, wasn't always sitting back and watching me, like, basically fade away. Some people, I have some people now that just won't stand by and let that happen. And even if I fought tooth and nail to let it happen, they would help me help myself. Like, you know, the progression began about 4 or 5 years ago with me trying to. And within this last year, I gave all the way in. And it's the best decision that I could have made, you know. And it's always about who you have around you that could help you in a lot of circumstances. And it's the best decision that I've made. Like, right now, I'm about a week and a half away from 8 months clean and sober. And, you know, it's the new me. So that's why the whole album is summed up by middle of the road, new fresh eyes, no cloudiness, you know, all clarity. So I think that definitely this is why the accolades and achievements is coming like they're coming, because I am, like, ready to receive it all. I don't think God had me ready before now. That's why, you know, some people ask, why hadn't your career soared more than what it is because I don't think that God knew that I wasn't ready yet. Now that I'm in the perfect space head-wise and the best, you know, playing, I think, in my opinion, is coming out of me right now. And I think, you know, it's going to take me places I've never been and places I've always wanted to go.
Well, Eric Gales, thank you so much for talking with us. And, you know, it's a great story. I'm glad things are going so well for you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, man.